is always very, very helpful for me, at least in my growth. And you know, the bottom line is, it says a very interesting Gemara. Gemara says that the Torah tells us that l'man yirbu yimecha mal ha'adama, that you'll have lengthy days in the land of Israel.
Amen.
We say it in Shema. So, don't tell your mom that. Okay, so it says that the way, if you want to live long, you live in Israel. That's what it says. So the Gemara says, but there's a, it's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Ches, if you want to look it up. The Gemara says, but there's this old man in Bavel. So how could that be? How could it be an old man in Bavel? The Torah says, if you're going to live long, it's going to be in Israel. That's what it says. So the Gemara says that no, but that man, he went to the Beis Medrash early and left late. End of Gemara. What does it do then? The Pasuk says, if you're going to live long, it's going to be in Israel. And here the Gemara asks, it's an old man in Babel. And the Gemara says that it's because he gets up early, he goes to the shul early, and leaves late from the shul. What's the pshat? So the Kli Yakar on the Pasuk in Chumash and the Maharsha, in the back of the Gemara there, say the exact same thing. They say that the Divya Gemara Megillah says that at the end of days, the times of Mashiach, all the Bate Knessios and the Bate Midrashim, this room over here, this big Knesset over here, is going to go over to Eretz Yisrael. All the shuls in America, all the base medrashes, are going to fly over to Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says. So it says, you see from there that the shuls and the base medrashes, even in Chutz La'aretz, have like a status of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, even though the Pasuk says that the way to have a long life is in Eretz Yisrael, but if you're in Chutz La'aretz, in the Beis Medrash, or in the Beit Knesset, then you can also have a long life. And since that man used to come early and leave late from the shuls, and if he was in Israel all the time. So even, you know, outside of Eretz Yisrael, the fact that we're getting together, and our connection, it's amazing. All of our connections over here is based on Torah. It's not based on, because we played football once upon a time together, you know what I'm saying? If we played football, it's only after we started learning Torah. You know what I'm saying? None of us here really went to yeshiva with a friend. Right? It's all we came, our growth was, our connection is all rooted on Torah. And therefore, even if we're not as in touch as maybe we'd like to be, as much as I'd like to be, that's for sure, but once you have a connection based on Torah, it's ironclad. It can't be broken. It stays forever. So shkayach to everyone for coming. Originally supposed to be two parts, you know, if we have to change around a little bit. But this Shabbos is known as Shabbos Agadol, the great Shabbos. This is the Shabbos Agadol. There's gonna, in the custom in many shuls, is to have a Shabbos Agadol drasha. They have a speech. What's so great about this Shabbos? It's the only one to have a drasha, so it's great. Like, what's so great? Why is it so great? So we have to take a step back and understand a little bit to focus on Pesach. Focus on Pesach. Now, we realize that throughout the year, we have mitzvos. Without tefillin, we have mitzvot Shema. Ramban says we have a mitzvah mezuzah. It's questionable what that means, really. With all these yom tovim, and kiddush, every single Shabbos, the halacha is, if you leave out the word zecher yitzias mitzrayim, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah of kiddush. So we're talking about mitzrayim like all day and all night. You know, like, it's amazing, all the time. So Pesach, that's for sure the yitzias mitzrayim holiday. We're thinking about yitzias mitzrayim, about leaving Egypt, and what does that mean? So most of us think, is what I always thought, that, you know, we're really excited. Life stunk in Egypt, right? We're working like dogs, and all of a sudden you're free. So it's time to celebrate, right? But the problem is, the Mefarshim on the Haggadah ask that, you know, life didn't exactly get much better afterwards. Yeah, there was a time that it was good. But then they got kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, right? And, you know, we had the whole story of Purim, they were going to die. It was not like, the life of the Jews has not been so great, you know? So if it was up to me, Pesach would have been a holiday that we would celebrate that day. And afterwards, we stopped. You know, it's like, for example, a person gets thrown into jail. He gets thrown into jail, is there for a long time. All of a sudden, he's free. Wow. So exciting, it's a big party. And every year, on the day that he's free from jail, makes another party. Right? 3 years later, he's put back into jail. Yeah? So now, the jail's even worse, by the way. He's in now is in solitary confinement. Life stinks in there. And what does he do? on the year that he got, on the day of the year that he got out of the first prison, he makes a holiday in the band jail. He forgot about that already. It was very nice that he got taken out, but now he's back in much worse place. So that's what Pesach is all about. Pesach, we got out. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And that, in, by the way, the Egyptians didn't want to kill us, really. No, they wanted to work us to death. But the firstborns, maybe, that was a technical issue. They didn't want they didn't want the savior of the Jewish people to be able to exist. But they weren't murdering us, right? It wasn't a Holocaust. Afterwards, there was inquisitions and the Holocaust. It was really, really, really bad, right? And yet, we're still, yeah, Pesach, woohoo! You know, like, what's going on? It doesn't make any sense at all. So the Nesiva says, Nesiva's a Mishpat. He's one of the commentaries on the side of Chosha Mishpat. And he has a Haggadah, lived in the 1700s. And he says a very, very important idea, which is, in my mind, transformational. It changes my Seder every single year. Totally changes everything. He says as follows. He says that there were two things that happened when we left Egypt. One was we were saved from a difficult time, which, like we said, it's not really a reason to celebrate. The second thing was that we became banim, we became sons to Hashem. Till then, we were slaves to Paro, and now we were slaves to Hashem. We were related to Hashem. The matlos was like the engagement party, you know, like making a big scene, letting everyone know, guess what, I'm around, here I am, you know, the groom's coming in, the trumpets are playing, and then all of a sudden, we left Egypt, and we got married. We got married to Hashem. We had a relationship with Hashem. We have four Lashonos, four cups at the Seder table. Keneged, the four Lashonos of Geula, the four different terms that the Torah uses for redemption. Veltzeiti, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vlakati. Veltzeiti takes us out. Lakati, I brought him to me. Like the words, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron, is the words that are used when we talk about Kedushin, getting married. Lakati, Lakicha, is what you do to a wife. You take her in. That's what Hashem did. He married us. That's what it was like at Yetzias Mitzrayim. To the extent that we know, we say in the Haggadah also, that there were 10 nis and 10 miracles at the sea. Right? One of them was, and the Mefarshim explains, it's incredible. It says that the muddy floor is turned into marble. So when the Jewish people walk out, they're like, wait, this is great. No, they're walking out, they're not sinking in. And as opposed to the Mitzrayim, every step they took in, they sunk a little deeper. And we're walking out. No problem. Okay, yeah, we can understand. Look, to get out fast for the Egyptians not to run after us, you know, they got to pave the floors. If it's not paved, we're going to slow down. Maybe they'll get us, right? But there are all these other nisim. For example, the Medrash says that they were able to drink unsalted waters. You know, they get some filtered water out of the cup, you know, take a cup and give it to the kids. That there's some before us that say there were trees growing out, that they were able to eat fruits out of the tree. Like, what was that for? You know, what was that needed for? Hashem is saving us. Life was horrible in Egypt. It should have been enough to take us out of that. What is Hashem along the way through the Yam Suf? We're like eating delicacies. You know, as we go, what's that needed for? And the answer is Hashem is telling us, I'm not just saving you from subjugation. We're getting married. Life's gonna be awesome. You know, so He gives you a few Hershey kisses. As you're passing through, you want some the Chol Yisrael ones, of course. You know, say this guy come through. You get a kiss. You get a kiss. And Hashem's saying, I love you. I want to get married to you. That says in the Nesivos sticks with us forever, because whenever anything gets hard, anything gets difficult for the Jewish people, Hashem is we know for sure Hashem's going to save us. Why? Because He's married us. We belong to Him. It will be a horrible disgrace of God's name if all of a sudden we go down. And that's why right after the Cheder Egel, what does Moshe say to Hashem? You should save them. Why should you save them? Because Lama Yomru HaMitzrim Leimor. Why should the Mitzrim, why should you even say that Hashem took us out, took His people out to kill them? That's why you should save the Jewish people. Not because they're good people and eventually they're going to be successful businessmen and make a lot of money and learn a lot of Torah and learn an Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say that. Moshe says one thing only. Save the Jewish people, because if you don't, Hashem, you're going to look really bad. You're going to look bad. Because the people that you brought out, everyone's going to say, ha ha, you brought them out, just kill them in the midbar. It's going to make you look bad. So for you, Hashem, take them out. Meaning what? Once you're married to someone, once you're related to someone, right, we'll give our shirts off our back for someone that we're related to. The guy did something wrong, And we know he deserves it. We don't say, Ab, he deserves it. We don't let him rot in jail. We don't do that. He's related to us. He shares the name Rossman. It's going to be on all the New York Times front cover. Rossman's in jail. I don't want that. You know, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save the guy. I'll pay the bail. I'll get him out. I'll do him a favor so my name doesn't go down. Once Hashem married us in Egypt, coming out of Mitzrayim, that's it. We were stuck forever, and forever we were going to be saved. It looked like we were going to get killed in the story of Purim. No way. How could we get killed? We're married. We're married to Hashem. The Inquisition, the Holocaust, no matter what, yes, life is difficult. Life is very, very hard. But at the end of the day, we are guaranteed that we will always come through at the end and continue living. Why? Because Hashem married us at Tzias Mitzrayim. So when it comes to the Seder, that's what we're celebrating. That's what our focus has to be. It's not just to read Haggadah. You know, I got an email from someone in the program today, and he wanted to know if his wife is not feeling well, does she have to stay up for the whole Haggadah? You don't have to read the Haggadah. It's not like you can read the Haggadah in 5 minutes and be finished. But that, it doesn't have to be a whole process. The idea is the experience that it's supposed to have. To just read the words dry does nothing. It's supposed to be transformational. We're supposed to think through the Haggadah, understand, wow, he did this miracle, he did that miracle, wow. But I tell you the truth, you know, at my Seder, parts of the stuff I read so fast, like a chick-chock. When I get to the Machlis, I start getting into it. You know, I have ping pong balls, and we cover it with tin foil, and I throw it at my brother, he's in taro, and the kids all throw the ping pong. We borrow, that's our borrowed. You know, we get it moving. The other parts, if you can't connect to it, whatever it is, okay, you have to read it, try to understand it. But it's the experience. It's supposed to be what you're going to get from the Seder. What you're going to get from the Haggadah. What are we going to get? We're going to get that, wow, Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me, cares about me. Look at all the amazing things that he did for me. That's what it's supposed to be. The Avudram says, this is incredible. It's a Chiddush. He says, what is the word Haggadah? We call it a Haggadah. Why do we call it a Haggadah? So his first answer is, you're supposed to tell your son on this day. Tell him. That's his first shot. His third shot is that it's from a pasuk in Kisavo, when it talks about the Bikurim, when it says that the person who has Hodat Hashem brings his first fruits to the base of Mikdash, it says, Vigarti ayom l'Hashem elokecha. That Hashem, I'm going to tell you now, or the Kohen, I'm going to tell the story of what everything Hashem did. I'm bringing his first fruits. I have thanks to Hashem. Here, I'm going to say my thanks. Higarati Haggadah is from the word thanks. That's what he says. The idea of the Haggadah is to give thanks to Hashem, not just the halal at the end. The whole experience is supposed to be one that I'm saying thanks to Hashem. And that's why the halacha is the halacha. The halacha is that you're supposed to feel the night of the Seder as if you're leaving Mitzrayim. What in the world does that mean? How are we supposed to do that? And then we're supposed to leave Mitzrayim after what? Watch the movie Exodus and then like think about it? Like, how do you do that? So some people have a custom, we inspired them at this custom, it's a nice custom. You know, they put a thing on their shoulders, the matzahs on their shoulders, and they walk around with a thing as if they're leaving Mitzrayim. But some people do it, it's robotic. What does it mean that I'm supposed to feel as if I'm leaving Mitzrayim? What does that mean? The answer is because on my way here, I got lost in the Bronx, and I was scared and I almost died, and it was a miracle that I got out of there. So Hashem loves me, Hashem cares about me, and therefore there are miracles that happen to me every single day. Hashem, I love you. Thank you very much. It's as if I just left Mitzrayim. Because that's what it means. Leaving Mitzrayim is not a physical act. It was, but that's not all it was. It's not what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that Hashem married us, and therefore will save me in the Bronx, he'll save me in Passaic, he'll save me in Brooklyn, he'll save me in Philadelphia, wherever I am. Hashem, even LA. Hashem is going to save us, no matter where we are. Hashem is going to save us. He's going to help us out because he loves us. Right? A good, faithful husband will pull his wife out no matter where she is, no matter what. And that's who we are. That's what it is. So over the course of the Seder, we have to have some introspection. We have to try to think, what does this mean to me? What is it? The fact that I'm married to Hashem, what did Hashem do to me? Now, besides the fact that it's almost miraculous that all of us are sitting in the same room together today, you know, like how we all got to Israel, to then get here, whatever. Each one of us write our own books, that's for sure, right? But every second we have miracles that are happening to us, right? We're out of touch. We're not thinking about those miracles. That's the problem. right? We're so busy that we can't think. We can't think. So if somebody asked me, why is it so difficult in America? So I know it's difficult for me. Because I'm running around. The second that I landed, I didn't have time to be jet lagged. You know what I'm saying? I'm running around like a maniac. You know, this or that. Even with my kids, I'm just running busy. We're so busy that we don't have time to think. We don't have time to appreciate the fact that Hashem took us out of the train. Right? The Avudram says, I'm sorry, the Sfarna, the Shlap, they say as follows. We say in the beginning of the Haggadah, Halachma Anya. That's what we start off. Lachma is the Aramaic for Lechem, Lachma, Lechem, Anya, Ani, poor man's bread. We're going to have the poor man's bread now. Why is the matzah the poor man's bread? So the Sfarna and the Shlap say an interesting thing. They say because that's what the Jewish people ate in Israel. They ate matzah. Why did they eat matzah? Why didn't they bake bread? We've seen when they're running out, they don't have time for the bread to rise, right? For the dough to rise. But when they're in Mitzrayim, I mean, they just bake bread. What's the big deal? So they say as follows. They say that the Mitzrayim were standing over them and making them work so hard that they let them just have the bread rise, just enough to have matzah. They said, get! That's it! Don't let it rise anymore! I've got to get back to building those pyramids. Got to go back and work. They were watching, they were over them like a hawk, not giving them time to even bake the bread. That's what they said. Okay? And therefore, our matzah, when you remember lechem oni, we're not just remembering poor man's bread, that the guy over there in Harlem, who's poor, is eating matzah. No, it's the people in Mitzrayim ate matzah. So when we're eating the matzah, we're thinking about it. Now, why were they doing this? The Egyptians didn't give them time to go ahead and think, and allow them to just bake, to be normal. The Netziv says in the Haggadah that we say, in Haggadah, Zeh Hadchak, we say that the Mitzrayim make things tight. What does that mean? He says, almost like, it's scary, he says they're almost like cable cars. The Netziv says they stuck the Jews in rooms, stuck as many people as they could be in there. Why? So they shouldn't be able to think about anything. They didn't want the Jewish people to think. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that Bnei Israel said to to Paro, you know, we want to go, we want to do an avoda, we want to leave, we want to sacrifice to our God. And what did he say? They're not working hard enough. They're not working hard enough. Give them more work. Don't give them the bricks anymore. Let them make the bricks themselves. Work, 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 work. Why? So Mesil Sasharim explains. He says, that's what Paro's tactic was, to get them not to think about God. Just keep them working. Go and go and go. Work hard, work more, more work. You won't have time to think, you won't be able to think about God. And the Medrash is a fascinating thing. The Medrash says that Moshe went to Paro and he said, look, I'm the CEO of Egypt, right? So I'm telling you, you can't have slaves work 7 days a week. They're going to die. It's not good for the business. You know, you want to have you guys working really hard. Okay, but you got to give them a day off. The Paro said, no, Moses, that sounds good. Pick a day. Pick a day. And Moshe picked a day. It happened to be Shabbos. Yeah. And it says, it's very interesting, guys. In Shmon Esrei, on Shabbos Shmon Esrei, we say, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chalko in Shmon Esrei. And Moshe was happy b'matnat chalko. So the Avudram said, you know why he was happy? Because when Hashem gave him the Torah and he said that Shabbos is going to be on the seventh day of the week. He was happy because he realized he picked the right day back in the time. That's the shot. Why was he so ecstatic when he got the Torah? Because Shabbos was the day. Yeah, bingo! I got it, nailed it on the head. That was the right day. That's what it says. Incredible. Okay, so he started keeping Shabbos in the time. They had there, and the Medrash says, you know what they used to do? They used to read scrolls all about Geula. They would pump themselves up spiritually that, one day we're going to get out of here. They allow themselves to stop and think, like, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to be good. That's what gave them the koach. That gave them power to continue forward. Then all of a sudden they asked Paro to go ahead and go free and go worship. And it mentions that Paro took away the Shabbos. Said, oh, Dad, you can't have a day off. I see what's going on. You guys are getting too much spiritual energy. That's it. We're going to stop it. And that's what the Rav Dessler says. That's the word Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim comes from the word Mitzar. Like we say, Min ha Mitzar karati ka. Mitzar means confined. Mitzrayim was about being confined.
No time to think, no ability to do anything. You're stuck in a cable car. You can't even bake your bread. You have to eat matzah. It's all about no thinking, no time. That's what it's about. And that, the Mesillas Yesharim says, is the Yetzer Hara in every single generation. Every single generation, forever, has a parah. It could be a cell phone, it could be music, it could be your job, it could be anything. Basically, just say, be busy, 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 no time to stop and think. Because the second you have time to stop and think, parah knew, the Yetzer Hara knows, that you're going to be successful. Because when you have time to stop and think, you can say, wait a minute, what in the world am I doing? I've been wasting my time doing X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, I should be doing this better. Or, you know, I really could be doing more of this. But if you can't think, then you just keep on going and going and going and doing and doing and doing, end up doing nothing, and you fail. Right? But that's the plague of being busy. Sometimes we're being busy with good things. We're being productive. Sometimes you can be busy with learning. You can be learning Torah all day and all night and never stopping and thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't be learning the same page for 3 years. Maybe it would be nice to read the parsha once in a while. Paro knows where to get you. I'm saying, just because you're sitting in the basement and learning Torah all day long doesn't mean you're exempt from Paro. He just comes in a different way. He'll figure out a way to make you busy, 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 so you can't think and think about normal things. Okay? If every person has this. Every person suffers. It's part of the Bria. It's part of God's creation. That we, Paro set it up that we don't have time to think. We don't have the ability to think. We can't move. And that's the key. That's the key of our Shabbos is. Right, we have to make sure that our Shabbos allow us time to think, not just to be busy all Shabbos, if we're busy during the week. And we should really take time every single day to stop, to think, to be able to evaluate, reevaluate. What are we doing? Are we being successful? Are we using our time in the proper way? Right, what do we do after, what happened after they left Mitzrayim? They walked out of the Yom Suf, they sang Shira. Everyone knows, if you look at the Torah, what does the Shira look like? It's like a few words, then a space. A few words, then a space. A few words, then a space. The rest of the Torah is not like that. But here all of a sudden, tons of spaces all over the place. Why are there spaces? Because the only way that you can ever sing a Shira is if you have some space. If you have some time to stop and think, and just to reflect, wow, we just left Mitzrayim. Hashem, I love you. It's only if you have that space that allows Hashem to come in, that you're able to be happy. Are you able to sing the song? Are you able to learn Torah? Are you able to grow? But if you don't have it, it doesn't go. And the Sfarno says that's the reason. What was the first mitzvah we got after leaving Mitzrayim? What was the first mitzvah in the Torah? Chodesh is Elochem, Rosh Chodesh. You're in charge of the time. The Jewish people, you're going to say when the times are. Time is in our hands. It wasn't in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, time was not in our hands. We were totally whatever they told us to do. We couldn't even bake bread. Right? And all of a sudden, you come out, the first mitzvah, you have the power of time. If you don't have time, you can't have a marriage. You can't have a relationship. People who are super busy, they cannot have a good marriage. Impossible. No such thing. You might see the couple and say, oh wow, they look like that, and he's working all day and all night. They do not have a good marriage guaranteed. That's not true. The only way there could be a good marriage is there's time. Time to think about each other, time to reflect on each other, time to reflect on past time. Time. You have to have time together. So Hashem said, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry you. Come out of Mitzrayim. I'll give you Hershey kisses coming through the Yom Suf. I love you. We need time. You're going to time now. There's going to be space. You're going to have free time to think, to reflect, to grow, to develop, to learn, to become better people. And we're going to be married to each other. But if we don't have that time, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. And we all have the time. Every single person. No one is too busy to say, I don't have any time. And if you are, then give yourself a few minutes and you'll see, you know, like they say, I think, who did they say from? Like one of the, I think it was Shlomo Salanter. Some say, you know, I don't have time to learn Musar. I just don't have time today. I'm learning Gemara, I'm learning Halacha, I don't have time for Musar. So he said, give yourself 20 minutes to learn Musar and you'll see that you have an extra hour. You know, like if you have time to think and to reflect, you'll see how much time you have. You'll see that how you can go ahead and be successful and to be able to move. And that's the key. And it's amazing. At the Seder, when we eat the matzah, and we say the reason that we eat the matzah, we don't talk about the matzah that we ate in Mitzrayim. We don't say that. We say matzah al shumma, Hashem that we left Egypt really quickly, and we had matzah. We couldn't, didn't have enough time. So the Sfarno and the Shlach, they both say, this is strange. Why did Hashem make it that they had to, they were about to leave while the bread was rising? Like, maybe they could have put the bread a little earlier, and they could have walked out with the bread. Like, it just so happened that they were in the middle of the matzah, of the dough rising, and that's when they went free. Why? Why did Hashem do that? So they both say the exact same thing. They say that Hashem was showing us that the matzah that we had to have in Mitzrayim because the people were oppressing us and saying, don't bake, don't let it rise, get back to work. That same matzah was the way we were going to have the Geula. The matzah is two things, opposites. One represents you have no time, we're oppressing you. And the other one represents the fact that you're free to go. Get out of here. The same thing has the bad, the same thing has the good. And that's what we celebrate. When we celebrate the matzah, we think about the matzah, and we went out, we rushed out, we have to realize that it was all about the fact that we are free to have a relationship with Hashem. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. And if we don't reflect on that at the Seder, we mamish miss the boat. That's what we do. Some of us have to prepare before and try to think of other nisim maybe that we have. Other things that have happened to us over the Seder, so we can really, when we say the Hallel, we really feel it, how the Yetzias Mitzrayim has affected us to this day. I'll leave you with one more idea. We say, Pesach Matzah and Mar. Pesach Matzah and Mar. So the Tzivas asks, he says, Pesach Matzah should have been after the Mar. Right? Mar represents the subjugation. After that was the Matzah. You were redeemed, right? But we say matzah, then the mar. So, my eye, right? Why do we reverse the order? So he says to drive home this lesson. If mar would have been first, and then matzah, we would have said, oh yeah, the idea of Pesach, and most people on the street will tell you this, the idea of Pesach is life was really bad, it was bitter, it was maror, and then we went out and we had matzah. But that is not what it's about. It's not just about the life was bad and it got better. Forget the bad part for a second. It's all about the fact that we had a relationship with Hashem. That's what the matzah is about. And therefore, we put the matzah before the maror, so you shouldn't make a mistake and think that it's a sequence of events, maror than matzah. Forget, even if it was never a maror, we had a relationship with Hashem, we were redeemed to have a marriage with Hashem. That in and of itself, even without a maror, is special. And that's why we say the matzah first. So you shouldn't think that it's a consequence, it's something that comes out of the mar. Even if there's no mar, even the mar is at the end, we have a relationship with Hashem, and that is the matzah. And that's why we have to walk out of the Seder. There's one time the entire year that there's a lot to stay up all night. It's not Shavuos. Shavuos was based on Kabbalah that somehow creeped into the mainstream Judaism. Okay, they stay up all night. The only time in all Shulchan Aruch that it says you're supposed to stay up all night is the night of the Seder. It's a lot, it's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. That you're not supposed to go to sleep until you fall asleep on your face. Now, usually it's not so hard. You know, after four cups of wine and your matzah, you're basically out even before the Seder is over. But the halacha is that you're not supposed to go to sleep until you just fall asleep. Okay, you start to doze off, then you go into your bed. That's the halacha. So what are you supposed to do? The Seder is over. Cleaned up, what am I supposed to do now? So at the end of almost every single Haggadah is Shira Shira. What do I sing? Shira Shira. And that helps them, like, what do? I understand. And Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, they sing, they lay Shira Shira. Why at the night of the Seder? Yeah, so the answer is, the Shira Shira is what? Shira Shira is a love song between us and Hashem. That's what it's about. It's a love song between a husband and a wife, the Jewish people being the wife, Hashem being the husband. That's what it's about. After the Seder, how in the world can you go to sleep? You're so in love with Hashem, if you really have a proper Seder, and you don't just think, how much matzah do I have to eat? You're so busy the whole time, the Seder's over. You didn't, nothing happened. You're the same guy as before him. You know? That's sick. You went through an entire Seder and nothing changed. You missed the boat. The Seder is supposed to be a time of, yeah, Hashem, I love you. That's what it's supposed to be. And afterwards, how can you go to sleep? What do you want to sing? A Shir HaShirim. And a Shir HaShirim is hard for you. You don't know it. So just say, I love you, Hashem, 50,000 times. Because in all Masha, you have to say Shir HaShirim. But that's the idea. The idea is that Mitzrayim was a time when we were totally closed, we were difficult, it was hard, we couldn't think. And that's what, I don't know about you, me, for sure. That's what's difficult over here back in America. Okay? It's difficult there to sell also. I'm not saying it's easy there. It's a little easier. Okay, especially if you're in yeshiva. In your yeshiva, it's easier. It takes time and stop and think. But here it's hard. It's busy. Everyone's calling you. Everyone needs you. There's like good things. You're involved in good things, not bad things. But we're busy. And we don't have time to stop and think and say, you know, I could have learned more yesterday. I could have done more mitzvahs yesterday. I could still be growing in a different area. We don't take time to think. But we have to stop. We have to stop and think. And that is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shabbos is the key. That is the key for that. The point of Shabbos is to reflect. To be able to think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the fact that Hashem created the world. That is what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos gives the energy for the entire week. The Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos, although it's the last day of the week, on many levels, it gives the koach, it gives the power for the next week. That's what the Chaim HaKadosh writes, other people say. So the Shabbos before Pesach is the Shabbos HaGadol. Because Pesach is the holiday. It's not just a tefillin. Pesach is the holiday supposed to get us through the whole year. Okay, we have a few different bus stations along the way that we try to remember again. It's right. But Pesach, that's the real thing. The Seder night, that's the real time. He set us forth for the whole year. Hashem, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for everything you do for me now because we got married back in the day. Thank you. That is what it is. The Shabbos beforehand is the preparation for that. So therefore, it's the Shabbos HaGadol. Because it's the Shabbos for the preparation for the greatest yontif, the greatest night of the year. Absolutely awesome night, Pesach night. And then we have to be prepared for that. We should spend time this Shabbos getting ready for that. We should try to take the message of Pesach into our day, whether we're going back to Israel or we're staying here, to always try to remember not to fall into the trap of Paro. The trap of Paro is deadly, and it hits every person. No one is free from it. Everyone. No matter who you are, gets it. Maseil Sharp explicitly says this. Every generation, it could be the social media, anything can nail you and pull you out with no time to think. But the more we take some time out and we think about this and we recognize this, we'll become much, much greater people. We'll become better over Hashem. We'll get closer to Hashem. We'll feel good about ourselves. We'll realize how much Hashem is doing for us. We'll be happier people, healthier people, and we'll grow. We'll grow to become giants. That's Hashem. We'll grow together. We don't get to many more gatherings like this.
Amen.